Hi.
This is another episode of the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. I do apologize by making that sound like it was a question at first.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
This is where we get a chance to discuss what we're talking about in our quiet times, our personal lives. We go deeper in God's word, as deep as people like us can go.
Yeah. We are rudimentary. we are exploring.
That sounds like I'm having digestion issues.
I'm so sorry. A little rudimentary there. We're certainly not experts by any means, but we do have a lot of fun getting to just explore and have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Certainly love your feedback anytime you maybe leave a review, for example. Mm-hmm. We appreciate a 5-star review with a question or a comment. Absolutely.
Here's a question right off the bat. You didn't even know I was going to ask you this. Do you ever feel like you start from base level every once in a while with Jesus? I'm not talking about in relationship with him, but like in how much I really just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a thimble's worth of knowledge here.
Well,
to the vast ocean that it could be.
To answer your question, it makes me think about something else too, but to answer your question first is yes. Because when you start to explore more about even specifically the word, I know there for a while I was like, okay, let me go over what it says in red, which is in some translations, it's the words of Jesus.
You're
distinct from if it's red, Jesus said it. If it's black or whatever, then it's just somebody else said it. And there's a lot of gray in there. He'll answer a question with a question a lot.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, what? Hold on. It's almost as if he wants us to think deeper.
Yeah, he does.
And then also come back and go, I thought deeper about it. What about this? Think deeper more.
And that's why when you speak with conviction, which is fantastic, and you go with what you know, but I always have to come back to the cross. I think that's why Peter even kind of like Paul even just said, you know, this is what I know. I'd always bring it back to center. So if you ever feel like that, you're starting over again, it's okay. Because I think there's just so much to know. And I think that's actually a really positive place to find yourself in. Because if you ever feel like you're at the edge of, I already know everything.
Sure. Yeah.
That's when the sirens should blare in your head.
Yeah.
And you realize that something's very wrong here.
Well, and when it comes to living it as well and messing up, you know, I think there's a place where once you know what's right, what's wrong, okay, I'll stumble occasionally, but it's not that bad. And I'm just kind of drawn to that story that Jesus told, the parable of the tax collector that is beating his chest, won't even lift his head up towards heaven and said, God, forgive me.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, here's a Pharisee that is looking over there and raising his head to heaven and saying, God, thank you that I'm not like that sinner over there.
Yes.
And there is, in a way, a thankfulness from me. I never want to like really mess up, but when I do, and it's one of those things where you've met, obviously sin is sin at some point. Sin separates us from God. And we'd call this sinful or that sinful if it's according to the Bible. But there are some where we'll sin and we'll go, all right, I'll try not to do it again. I'm good. There are some that'll stop you in your tracks and go, man, I can't believe I did that. And when I've gotten to that place, it's probably grace, really, now that I think about it more. But there's a thankfulness of that I don't have it all together, and I'm reminded that I'm thankful that I'm in this moment
that I need Jesus.
Hopefully acting like the person, the tax collector that says, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. And I thank you in a way for this stumble so that I don't get all the way to that place of that Pharisee.
Yeah.
There'll be days where you might go back and forth, but obviously there's some sort of longevity to life where all of a sudden my heart can be so made of stone and I don't want to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I'm thankful that I stumbled. At the same time, it's still wrong. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's a very interesting relationship with that.
I really do think it comes down to just, I'm grateful that I need Jesus.
Yeah.
Because if I was perfect, that relationship would be unnecessary. Would you want to go through life not knowing Jesus?
Mm.
I would not.
Yeah.
I think obviously if there was no need for Jesus, then we would have found ourselves in the perfect situation that God had.
Yeah.
desired for us in the beginning.
There would be nothing wrong at all, right?
And we would have an incredible relationship with him. But I mean, even then, we've said it before, would we know the sweetness of the major keys if it wasn't for the minor keys? Would we know the true taste of sweetness if there wasn't salt? You know, would I really understand the love that God has for me unless it cost him something to show it?
Mm-hmm.
He died for me. He does love me. You know, when it costs my husband something to go across town and get me that cupcake that he knows is the signature flavor that I am seeking. You know, it costs time, energy.
Right.
He's had a long work day. That means so much. It's more than the cupcake. It's incredible, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do understand what you're saying. It's interesting. My dad and I, we love Bible trivia. We love to do that kind of thing. And since I was a little kid, we had these types of things at church built in. So it was like almost, it's competitive. And so we're watching a sermon on Sunday. And one of the things that gets brought up, it's this moment where Elijah is with the priests of Baal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they're going, it's an incredible account on Mount Carmel. And
sounds delicious, by the way.
It sounds amazing with that cupcake I was just talking about. Right.
And this is one of those stories, too. It's a well-known story, I guess, but I don't remember hearing it ever.
Really?
Until about eighth or ninth grade.
Okay. And because it's a freaky, scary one.
And maybe that's why they didn't tell it in children's church. Maybe is why it's that kind of thing. And then I'm sitting here going, this is awesome. Why haven't I ever heard this? And so it's one of those, it's not maybe your A-lister in terms of like how known it is, but it's a solid story.
It's a solid story. And Elijah has this incredible moment where his faithfulness and trust in God, where it seems like he's stacked against everybody else. And he's wearing not just his faith on his sleeve, but boldly, like as a banner over his life. You know, he is basically taking down the hundreds, there's hundreds versus him, prophets of Baal. Well, and it's not him. It's the fact that he knows that he's siding with the King of Kings and that God is real and that Baal is a made-up idol,
mm-hmm.
not a real God. Anyway, there's this incredible victory moment, and we were talking about how many prophets of Baal. Let's go back to the reason why I brought it up is the trivial reason.
Oh, yes.
Which trivial is such a good word, too, because this is the trivial stuff you can get hung up on, which is what I think pharisaically we can get hung up on. So let this symbolize maybe something in your life that's not the point. Make the main thing the main thing. But it was my dad asks one of my kids a trivia question. Do you know how many prophets of Baal there were? And I'm sitting there thinking, because it's been a minute
mm-hmm.
since I read this account in scripture. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Can I guess?
I'm thinking, oh, sure.
Is it like 600 or something?
Oh, see, that's a solid guess.
Uh-huh.
And I said 500.
Okay.
And my dad says, close, it's 400.
Okay.
And then there's this little piece of me that's like, no. I looked it up.
Yeah.
It's 450.
So you were like.
I was 50 off.
Yeah.
And my dad was 50 off.
Right.
And you know what he did?
What?
He said, I'll split the difference with you. I remember that wrong. My dad is a pastor. My dad, if you ever want a piece of trivia, solid bet. That he's going to be the guy mm-hmm. that can tell you. In fact, my mom and him have this little game where he'll guess what scripture she's reading out of a devotional book. And he's usually on the money. He knows where it is.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just telling you that's his relationship with God. He's so in love with Jesus, he can't get enough. So he's constantly reading scripture. You may or may not have somebody like that in your life. And they may or may not be your patriarchal person.
Yeah,
That's my dad. He's just humbly owned it. He didn't make that he wasn't like, are you sure? What version are you reading? Or, you know, I mean, obviously a number is a number.
He didn't get defensive on that.
He didn't get defensive.
Sure. Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'll share the difference with you. I messed up on that too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, see, that's just a tiny example though of how we may, now let's look at it from a different angle. If you have a piece of scripture and you feel like you've got that number down, and I'm putting the number in quotes, mm-hmm. you think you know exactly what that scripture and its interpretation means. And then somebody else comes along and challenges you and says, actually, did you know that the Greek translation of it means this.
Sure.
Now you could either do what my dad did and said, you know what? I'm going to split the difference with you. Actually I did not know that fact. That's interesting. I'm going to add that to my understanding of God's word as I've understood it and processed it in my life. I think there's real maturity in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's super helpful when you have to reset a little bit, because that's kind of what I'm talking about. You start back, it almost makes you feel like, oh, I've been dethroned. Or uh-huh. No. Like when you are not promoted, you're demoted. I've been demoted from that pedestal that apparently I held myself at.
Uh-huh, sure.
And
sure.
Humbled. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
Really okay.
It's true in the heart of it. I think it's tough when somebody might say something that you've either A, never heard before,
yeah,
or B, you have and you already know they're wrong. And because I mean, really when it comes down to it, scripture can be helpful in the application of many different situations, but the true meaning is only the one the author intended.
Yes.
Now, and some we don't know. Some are fuzzy of like, I mean, even scholars will go, oh, I don't know exactly what this means.
Right.
You know? I mean, so some are just fuzzy. But it's tough. The heart of it should be what you're saying.
Yes.
Especially if I haven't heard that perspective, well, study and show yourself approved.
Yeah.
I'll receive it. I'll check that out.
Absolutely.
And then if you find out they're wrong, you know, whether you make a big deal about it or if you are a close friend about it, you go, actually, I looked this up and did you know this? And then it's a discussion as opposed to it's my ego.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I do think, though, that if you are reading the scripture and even if the author intended it to be one way, and God gives you something else through it, don't dismiss that. Because that's not necessarily—
Define that.
That's not necessarily heretical, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because he had 12 disciples, and many more followed him than that. We know that there was a grouping of women, obviously. They all didn't hear things exactly the same, right? They had it land with them differently for each of their person. So if I'm reading a scripture and it talks about, all right, let's just take John 3:16 for example. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. You take out of that scripture the first time you read it, whatever God lands in your heart first. Mm-hmm. And John, who wrote it, and was actually listening, I would imagine. This is the way that the show The Chosen has kind of imagined it, that John is listening as Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus on the rooftop. He's listening to John chapter 3 actually being spoken.
Sure.
And he's hearing what he's hearing, and he's writing it down. And he wrote it down verbatim from what he heard, right? But maybe it was the love part that landed with him stronger than you won't die part. Well, what if you're struggling right now in the midst of a medical set of circumstances, right? And that part about death lands a little bit differently with you in a way that makes you go, oh my word, my focus has been weird all this time. Why have I put so much on this life when I know that I am going to live in eternity with God who loves me? But in this moment, that might be even a secondary mm-hmm. highlight, if you will. But having said that, I also know there's the literal interpretation, the literal translation, where if you, and this is probably what you were intending, it's like if you were to read that and you hear somebody come alongside and say, did you know that this actually interpreted from the original transcript into its proper language means thus and so? I don't want to take away from what God may have given to you through the first reading of it, because his word transcends language. It does, because Jesus said in John chapter 1, Jesus is the word.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
But at the same time, so it's like it's almost like if you've heard from a pastor that may have actually been uncovered later as to be a crook and somebody that, oh, but I came to know the Lord under his guidance. Does that mean everything is a fraud? No. It's kind of like one of those things to me. It's like you may have heard through the Spirit in your world, through this verse, this is something I want you to cling to right now. Mm-hmm. But the author's emphasis was meant to be here. I don't think it should destroy what you took away in that moment with the Holy Spirit the first time.
And everything you just said, I agree with, and I would define as application.
Yeah.
In our circumstances. But you have a lot of people out there saying, to me, this means that everybody's going to heaven, even if they're an atheist and even regardless of what they do. And it's like, you can't start doing that stuff.
No, because that's actually lifting from context.
Yeah. Oh, that's true too.
And
right?
so you,
yeah.
and we've talked about having to read, not having to, nobody has to, but if you want the full picture, you don't start the movie in the middle.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
If you want the whole story, hopefully there's at least even a summary that you can read from beginning to end. You see how all the puzzle pieces fit together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't lift things out of context and say, well, I think, or I feel actually your feelings may be verified, justified through scriptural application. You go, oh, okay. So I was on track. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit had me on track.
Yeah.
But it could be something that you heard somebody else say that's lended to your interpretation of the scripture that has been lifted out of a context there. That's kind of, it's very important. I almost said kind of important. I think it's very important.
Right. Right.
And I, again, we are not experts, but I can honestly say after just sampling as much as I have and wanting to know more, I will hold what I can tell you, that the stuff that maybe it's frivolous is the wrong word. It's not the stuff that you hang your faith on. It's the stuff that really Jesus was like, that's secondary to what really matters. What most matters is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, everything, and to love others well.
Yeah.
And they're very, very similar. What does that mean? Keep reading in scripture to find all that that defines.
Sure, sure.
And into loving others well means I need to know first how to love myself well, to love people as well as I love myself. Does that make sense? Do I go jigsaw puzzle there?
It's one of those that's so tough in, I think a lot of this is tough in the culture that we live in because self-care comes before serving others in the culture that we live in. And I mean like pampering.
So I need to explain probably what I was trying to say and terribly spoke. Okay. If I'm doing a terrible job of taking care of myself.
Sure, sure.
I don't really know how to, I don't want to be loving others as I love myself.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
if I'm doing a terrible job of loving myself, then I have no idea how to love others.
Sure, sure.
So I think discovering my identity through the person of Jesus Christ that I have said is no longer me, but I rise up in that I died with him when he was crucified.
Yeah.
It's no longer me that lives.
Right. And that's where I think the world gets it twisted. And I mean world. There's obviously a lot of different layers of who believes what. But I think spiritual people that at least like Jesus and have some sort of influence there can get it to where how did you just phrase that? You just phrased that, and that's what made me think about it. Now I lost track. It can be where
I'm sitting here rolling my eyes thinking, trying to remember.
Die to myself. That's what you said.
Oh, dying to myself, yeah.
Where instead of dying to myself, because I should find my identity in Christ so that I can love others.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, we live in a culture that is me first and then others. And we're not dying to ourselves in the I've used this word a lot lately, but then in the vanity of my life.
There's a lost step there. So you've heard it often said on the airplane, put the mask on yourself first in order to help others. It's very important that you hear the words in order to help others.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
So if I have taken that step in saying yes to Jesus, then I have died to myself. It is no longer I that live, that Christ lives in me. Then now my purpose is to do what did he do?
Yeah.
He served, he died for others.
Right.
So I'm to serve others. So that's loving people well. And in fact, that's going to love myself well, because how do you love yourself better than allowing Jesus to teach you what love is? It kind of comes full circle, but yeah, that's kind of an important step, and we gloss over some stuff. And it's not, I was telling a friend recently that I have more sympathy for people who do gloss over that stuff because perhaps they've never had somebody exemplify what that can look like, or they've never read through scripture themselves fully, and they only pick and I got to admit, Carter, there are other faiths, other religions whose doctrine I have not read from cover to cover. Mm-hmm. So if you're not a Christian and you don't read our doctrine cover to cover, I'm in the same boat with you for other religions. Mm-hmm. I understand that. So there's sympathy there. I've never felt compelled at this point in my life to do so because I feel like I'm doing real good sticking with the truth here with Jesus.
Sure, sure.
And I'm still a thimbleful.
Yeah, right.
But having said that, I think the sympathy lends to the patience that I need. I've been reading in the Psalms lately, and a lot of it, David is just struggling. Not all of them are written by David, but a lot of the Psalms, this is a time to cry out to the Lord. Some of them are very joyful. Some of them are very angry. They always seem to end with hope.
Yeah.
But God, I will still put my trust in you. But Lord, I know you're going to pull me from this dire place, you know, into the heavenlies where you are, or whatever the wording might be.
Yeah.
But it does tend to put it us versus them when you read through the Psalms like that. And I've been very careful in journaling, trying to remind myself, do not exclude yourself from the band of people that David is referencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not an us versus them mentality I think that Jesus wants us to have. It is a us versus Satan kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you're talking about the enemy, but there are people who are intentional with their life. They may not be followers of Christ. They may be atheists, but they are not living with a maliciousness. They're not out to get us. They're not the enemy. They're trying to find what can fill the God-shaped hole that's in their life. And they're doing their best at that. And sometimes they may be real stubborn, but heck, I'm real stubborn. So being patient with them, looking at myself in the mirror when I'm reading through these Psalms, am I the enemy today to people who are searching for the light and love of Christ because I'm being boastful with my lips? Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a caution to me, and it's just that reminder.
Well, and one of the things that we got to chat about last week, and we're about to talk about what we teased from last week.
Yeah.
Just amazed at people. And I mean, I think you really have to go back to it's the power of God, but people that grew up in what they grew up in, mm-hmm. regardless if it's circumstance and home even, but especially what I concentrate on are people that grew up in a different faith, a different religion, and maybe even grew up in a home of atheists. Mm-hmm. And to be able to find Jesus later in life, mm-hmm, and because mm-hmm. I've known people that if you're lied to your whole life, then why wouldn't everything just be false?
Yeah,
I've just kind of, and I may have even chatted about that last week, but just the amazement of that God can truly reach anybody.
Yeah,
and that He is patient and that He's there regardless of how you grew up.
And so should I.
And yeah, true. And so should I live my faith.
Yes.
Not be embarrassed or even nervous, I think, about it.
Yeah.
Like we can be.
Absolutely.
And I think it's such a perfect analogy with what you found about Mark Hamill.
Okay, so Mark Hamill, if you know anything about me, I love my husband. So God, husband, family, you know, that order. But somewhere in probably the top 10.
Yeah.
I'm a franchise nerd.
And specifically Star Wars.
I have fun with it. I'm not one of those people that go, Lucas should come back and run for president. I'm not that person. I don't get mad if they change Anakin's pants. Uh-huh, I don't get uh-huh, mad.
Right.
But it's interesting. Mark Hamill, he was, I don't know if you even knew this. He's an incredible voice actor. So he has been in the series, the Batman series, as the voice of Joker for a long time. Just incredible talent.
But he is Luke Skywalker.
And we know him as Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And people are going to see him until the day that man is laid to rest will be Luke Skywalker, mm-hmm. since 1977. And so he is in this play on Broadway. He plays the part of Amadeus Mozart. No, mm-hmm. the play is later made into a movie.
But a whole different thing.
Ironically, he's not cast in the movie. He auditions even though he's fantastic because he's Luke Skywalker.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But if you read the playbill, you go to New York, you're sitting there on Broadway, you're about to watch Mark Hamill in a performance of Amadeus. He, on the playbill, is listed as being a part of some space movies.
It wouldn't say Star Wars?
No, I think he was trying to be, it's like, look, I don't think he was negative about the experience at all with Star Wars. He loves Star Wars, but he was like, I kind of want to show people that I can do more than just this one character. I can be other people.
He's trying to be taken seriously.
Try to take me seriously. Well, Leia, her name is really Carrie Fisher. She sees this playbill. She's like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You are Luke Skywalker. I am Princess Leia. Get over it.
Yeah.
This is what people have come to know it. And it's great. Just embrace it. Go for it. And it got Carter and I thinking about how we should be with our faith. You know, just embrace it. There are definitely people who have claimed the name of Christ that have been a shameful embarrassment in our past because they have not been an example of what Jesus is about.
Sure.
I don't judge them in terms of like whether they intentionally were being jerks and saying they were Christ followers. Some people have been hugely misled. Look at the life of Saul turned Paul.
Right, right. True.
But at the same time, yes, it's so you know that that word Christian might trigger other people of other faiths, people in social media. You may feel encumbered a little bit about just being out there, having your faith on your sleeve. And it's not even because you're ashamed of the gospel. It's not having to do with that. It might be because it's linked to the fact that that's triggersome for people who've been wounded.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be taken seriously and you want to, you want people to know you as you, and you get concerned about their preconceived notions. And then you start to do the opposite of what it says in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember in middle school, there was a guy that wasn't a Christian, and they were talking about some rock music, and I liked this band called Trust Company. Now, interestingly enough, as I finish the rest of the story, that is not a Christian band. They were just a heavy rock band in the early 2000s. They had like one radio hit.
And you, by my generation, the people leading in any way would have probably been told that music will send you straight to hell.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It was that type of sound. That's for sure.
And I'll come back with a reason why I would even bring that up.
But alas, I'm at a football game. We're talking about some rock music. And I'm like, oh, have you guys heard Trust Company? And they're like a band that played on the rock station. But you know how that sounds, Trust Company.
Yeah.
And this kid, Simon, goes, Carter, get out of here with your Christian stuff. And instead of saying, which I knew they weren't, so that's what I was about to say. Instead of saying, who cares if it was? Like, that is what I believe. In some way, you know, in some way was gentle, but said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Instead, I tried to deflect. Mm. They're not a Christian band. They're not a Christian band. To try to get some sort of social standing so that I wasn't an outcast.
Sure.
And of course, this was seventh grade, right? But it's things like that that I start to try to qualify in people's minds, even by what I do. I don't want to be the one to just invite them to church or say I'll pray for that. But shouldn't I? In a lot more situations.
I love the fact that you kind of sounded a little dismissive. I mean, it was in seventh grade. God used that in your life, clearly.
Sure, sure.
You know, and he used moments like that when I was a kid too, when I screwed up and I could have made a stand, taken a stand for another person, taken a stand for him, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. Because we immediately sense it in our spirits. That wasn't cool. That wasn't what God would want me to do or say. And I understand why, the reason why I brought up the fact that in the 80s, everybody was on this crazy kick for trying to just demonize everything.
Yeah, right, right.
And I don't know, and certainly I don't want to step on toes because there are certain songs, absolutely, when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh man, there is nothing honoring to the Lord. And that's
why sure.
That one's kind of, that's a reprobate music right there. But then there are some things that were taken to this extreme where everything is going to get you sent to hell. That was preached a lot. And so no wonder there's confusion. I think especially with kids who grew up in the 80s, like I did in the early 90s, we're trying to be godly, Christ-centered people. And we're kind of even the hell is kind of put into it. It's like the scaring of us. Uh-huh. Maybe I said that wrong. They're trying to scare the quote hell out of us.
Right.
Is what
yeah.
They're trying
oh,
to
yeah.
do, right?
Yeah. Totally.
And so I think that's, I think that's definitely one of the reasons why there may not be that leap to, yes, I'm a Christian. Here's what I believe, because we know that people are going to tack on to that particular name things. I very much lean towards saying Christ follower because I think the name Christian has unfortunately been tethered to some pretty negative experiences for people.
Sure. Sure.
And I don't know. It's just a name, right? It describes a group of people. It shouldn't probably leave a taste in my mouth, but knowing that it does leave a taste in my mouth and some other people's because of what had taken place in childhood, I just want people to know this is, I love Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's who I am.
And when I have certainly shied away from that, wouldn't it be at the very least better? I mean, because one is you're hoping that God uses you so that somebody comes to know him.
Yes.
But in the very least, wouldn't it be a great opportunity where, and this would be a kind of a seed planted more so, where they meet you, you talk about believing in Jesus in whatever, however way you want to phrase that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you live like Jesus so that then maybe it's a place you worked for 3 years.
Yeah.
You leave and they all of a sudden have a mm-hmm. different notion of what it means to be a Christian.
And I think that's so strong. And I've heard that from several people in their lifetime where folks came to them and said, but you're not like other Christians.
Yeah.
Because you could see that there's a negative connotation with that word, unfortunately, because they've experienced a wounding or a hurt. And so you feel like I have to disassociate from that. But Princess Leia came alongside Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, and said, you need to own this. So if others label a Christ follower Christian, then I want to connect them to what is good in Jesus. And if it's connected to a word like, I mean, I'm going to own it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a Christ follower. I've been labeled in my culture as a Christian. Let me help define that by setting an example of what I think Jesus set an example for us.
Yeah.
There's a whole template in the New Testament of how Jesus walked out his life and told us to walk out as our lives.
This is where I'll go back to that application thing
mm-hmm.
Because every situation is going to be different based on personality. But I think there's a pairing where it should be for all of us in the right relationships, in the ongoing relationships, where, because one thing that somebody said that I just can't get out of my head is the gospel is information, right? Yeah. Just because I say I go to church, or certainly sometimes we get just very happy. I paid for him in the drive-thru behind me, mm-hmm. or I smiled at him. Like, those are all nice things.
Sure.
They're not going to know what it means to be able to what that means to repent, believe, be with Jesus for all eternity just because I smiled at him. So I think there's a pairing here of the gospel is information, but it's also how I live my life. Now the application is, well, you're going to know the person that you know better than I do. You're going to know what's their type of personality. Are they a little sarcastic? Are they more blunt? Should I just come out with it? You know I have some relatives where we're going to give some unfortunate news, not big, but unfortunate news to somebody. And my dad told me, don't make small talk at the beginning of the conversation. Why? Because she'll just want you to get to it.
Yeah.
Say hello, hello. So I need to tell you this. Boom, go for it. Don't make small, and other people wouldn't want that, right?
Right.
You know the intricacies of your relationships, but there should be, as time goes on, the information about who Christ is, and I should be living like it.
Yeah. And you're entrusting somebody with the most precious gift in your life.
Yeah.
And so there's a scripture that talks about not casting your pearls before swine.
Sure.
If you're trying to throw it at somebody in outside of the timing of God, it can be, well, ill-timed.
Mm.
Doesn't mean God can't still use it. He did use a donkey. I just never want to be like compared to that. Do you know? I just want to share this real quick before we say goodbye. Because here's an incredible way that three young women in front of microphones, in front of cameras, before winning not so very long ago, a softball championship.
Oklahoma has now won 3 national championships in a row. And whether you're into softball, whether Oklahoma's not your team, it's pretty amazing when asked about the pressure
yeah.
and the anxiety of having the longest win streak ever in their sport, of potentially winning that 3rd national championship. How do you guys keep the joy alive?
So 3 women responded. The first said, you know, the only way that you can have a joy that doesn't fade away is from the Lord. Hmm. She didn't blink when she said that.
Right.
Any other type of joy is actually happiness that comes from circumstances and outcomes. Joy from the Lord is really the only thing that can keep you motivated and in a good mindset, no matter the outcomes. Thankfully, we've had a lot of success this year, but if it was the other way around, joy from the Lord is the only thing that can keep you embracing those memories, moments, friendships, because there's no other way that softball can bring you that because of how much failure comes in it and just how much of a roller coaster the game can be.
Yeah.
The next woman shares, 1,000% agree. My freshman year, I was so happy that we won the College World Series, but I didn't feel joy. I didn't know what to do the next day. I don't know what to do for the following week. I don't know. She said, I didn't feel filled. I had to find Christ. Yes, obviously, we want to win, but it's not going to be the end of the world if we lose because our life is in Christ. And just when you think it's like, well, drop the microphone. There was one other woman at the microphone and she shared, I think a huge thing that we really just latched onto is eyes up. And she points up and she says, you see us doing this and pointing up. We're really fixing our eyes on Christ. And I think that's why we're so steady in what we do and our love for each other, our love for the game, because we know this game is giving us the opportunity to glorify God.
I think one thing that I just really feel is just the reminder that you're not alone. If you feel alone at work mm-hmm. or your neighborhood or your friend group, because you just feel like you're the only Christian out there, you're clearly not alone. You're not in the battle alone. There are others also trying that. I'm sure that wasn't easy what they shared at different times in their life. But there are so many still willing to fly the flag of mm-hmm. Jesus. Thank you so much for your time, and we will see you next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.